Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and the worthy name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue and come near to the conclusion of the precious study that we're having regarding the prophecy of God relating to his city of Jerusalem and Israel. The last great siege of Jerusalem, oh my beloved, it is called the city of the great king. But oh, how much history has been woven around that city, and particularly the history of God's earthly people, the nation of Israel. We continue in our study of chapter 14 of the prophecy of Zechariah. For we have in the prophecy of Zechariah, may I say, more than any other prophecy, related truths concerning God's dealings and future purposes for Jerusalem. Jerusalem. We have made the statement that you find the mention of Jerusalem 20 times in the last 3 chapters of the book of Zechariah. And you find the city mentioned in preceding chapters. Jerusalem, I think, is mentioned in the Holy Scriptures approximately hundreds of times. And may I state to my beloved hearers, recognize the importance in divine purpose of the city of Jerusalem. It will yet be the capital of the whole world. But before that great glory dawns, there is to be a convening and a gathering of all the nations of the earth who will be seeking to destroy God's earthly people, and they will be gathered around Jerusalem. We read again in chapter 14. I'd like again to begin reading at verse 3 to get the picture clearly as to the divine intervention and deliverance that will be effected when the Lord Jesus returns to the earth. We believe that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. We believe that his feet shall touch the earth. Listen to these words. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east, toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Meditate with me, my beloved. There's some tremendous topographical changes that are to take place when the Lord comes to the earth and touches the earth again. Outside the city of Jerusalem is the Mount of Olives. Within sight of the city, our Lord Jesus left Jerusalem to be crucified upon the tree of Calvary. And outside on Golgotha's hill, our Lord was crucified to save you and me. As far as we have any idea, there's no scripture that indicates the Lord Jesus ever returned back into the city of Jerusalem. The only way that he returned into Jerusalem can be said to be this. When in the upper room gathered together with the doors shut, the disciples afraid and fearful of the Jews, he suddenly stood in their midst. But as far as the city proper, as far as the inhabitants of the city, they never saw him again. For in the resurrection and post-resurrection days of our Lord on the earth, he only revealed himself to his immediate disciples. But oh, I want you to think, the last place those precious feet of our Lord touched the earth when he departed from this scene, those feet departed right from the Mount of Olives. And the prophet says, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. My, how interesting it would be to conjecture, will his feet touch the exact spot? Well, I'm sure there's no reason why they shouldn't. He knows the exact place. But his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, right before Jerusalem, on the east. And the moment that he touches the mount, there is an earthquake. that divides the mountain and removes half of it to the north and the other half to the south. Now, may I point out that when you read the prophetic scriptures regarding the city of Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom, it is going to be an elevated city even higher than its present elevation today. And there will be a great valley going eastward and westward, as the prophet writes. And the Lord declares that valley will be a valley of escape for the beleaguered and besieged Jews. Ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Hazel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the cleaving of the mount will make a valley of escape for the besieged city and its inhabitants. And the godly remnant, though small, that remains at the last stand. Why, oh beloved, is the answer to the deliverance. The Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Please may I state, my beloved, what it's going to mean when that siege of Jerusalem ends. That siege will end by the visible appearing and the universal sight of the coming from heaven of the Son of God. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. John said in Revelation 1:7 those words, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even they that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so amen. Beloved, there's going to be a great revelation to this poor, godless, sinful, Christless scene. And they're going to see the Lord come. Oh, my beloved, don't wait for that day to see the Lord come in judgment and power. The Lord came once, and by his first coming he put away sin upon the cross of Calvary through his own sacrifice. By his first advent, he provided salvation and provided an eternal redemption for all. And that blessed one pleads by the Spirit through the word of the gospel that you receive him as your Savior. Have you done this? Oh, God grant that you will see the need of it. For in that day it will be too late when he comes. For in that day the Lord shall come with his saints. And his coming with his saints in that day will bring deliverance for the godly remnant of Israel. Then note with me a most unusual thing described in verses 6 and 7. Regarding the character of that unnatural day of gloom. The apostle or the prophet writes, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Oh, may I remind you, there are contemporary prophecies that describe the unnatural day of that final conflict. In the prophecy of Joel, you have it. In the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 24, as well as in chapter 13. And in Mark, chapter 13, the Lord Jesus spoke that the heavens would be dark and the moon would not give its light, and the sun would be affected. My beloved, is not only that. Not only will it be an unnatural day, literally, but more than ever, and more important, it's going to be one of the most unnatural days spiritually. The forces of darkness and the forces of light will be battling against each other. It's going to be the final battle between the forces of Satan and men opposing the forces of righteousness in God and the people of God. And there will be a conflict between the hosts of darkness and the hosts of light. But what is the outcome? Though it will not be a clear light, though it will not be a bright light, let me point out something though. Though the natural sources of light will be withdrawn, yet it will not be like the darkness of the night. For may I give you this suggestion? Though the natural light will be missing, when the Lord comes from heaven above with his saints, they're coming down in glory. and the transplendent light of the glory of the Lord and of his angels and of his saints will be reflected upon that dark scene of final conflict. And it will be an unnatural light. But the light will be victorious, as the prophet writes, it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. My beloved, may I bring you this thought. The most unnatural day that has ever been known in history was when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the cross of Calvary. And for 3 hours, in that darkness of Calvary, the Son of God bore the judgment of your sins and mine, and the judgment of a world's guilt in his own body upon the tree. The sun withheld its light, and out of that darkness the Lord was heard to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? May I humbly say, I believe that was the darkest night in human as well as divine history, when Christ, the beloved Son of God, was enshrouded upon that cross in darkness. Now may I say, the verse that we are reading in Zechariah indicates that there's going to be for this world's history another dark night. Not a night that has provided redemption, but the darkness of night that will indicate judgment and destruction upon the enemies of God and his people. But the forces of light will emerge victorious in that coming day. And let me close by stating, as the prophet writes in verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And thank God we know the outcome will be victorious for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will be king over all the earth. Oh, may God awaken our heart with real interest and concern about the future. And especially may God speak to the hearts of all regarding their own future. May your future be one of glory by knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior now for his name's sake. Father, bless thy spoken truth. May it reflect thy glory and bring salvation to sinners. For Jesus' sake, amen.